Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's 12 midnight here in Atlanta, Georgia, which is 11 o'clock p.m. here in Kingston, Jamaica. We have Chaplain John Durden. He's going to bring forth the word. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and then we're going to turn everything back over to Chaplain John Durden. We thank everybody to participate and support our brother, and we're going to turn the mic over to Chaplain John Durden.
Do I have the mic now?
You got the mic.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John, and it's a pleasure to be with you this time of the evening. Usually I'm snowing like a champ. I just felt led to speak on the Holy Spirit a little bit, maybe about an hour, no longer, unless the Lord just takes me over that time. But
Brother John.
Again, yes.
Brother John. I just had to disconnect them. They can't hear me. The Lord don't want you to go on the Holy Spirit. You're too comfortable with that. They can't hear me. I turned it off. You got to go without that.
Well, I ain't got nothing else to teach. All my stuff is in the paper.
Well, you got to step in faith. You don't need no paper. Take no script. All right, I'm finna put you back on air.
Okay.
We have Brother John. That's a change in the teaching. We have Chaplain John Durden.
Again, good evening, everybody. And this is Brother John. And for those who don't know me, I have three master's degrees. One was in human resources, where I hired several employees for 30 years. And then when I retired at the age of 55, the Lord called me into the ministry, and there I was in seminary, 56, 57, 58. The seminary with all those young boys who were like 20s and their 30s. So I did get through, and while I was in graduate school, I got a master's in Christian counseling, and then I got a master's in theology. As a result of the master's in theology, I became a chaplain. I wasn't even thinking about a chaplain. I thought maybe the Lord would sign me to a church somewhere, and so I went home after I got my master's, and then next thing I know, the hospital was calling me and asked me to come for an interview, and I'd never been in that hospital a day in my life. Well, I went. And they interviewed me and told me that they were looking for a senior chaplain. I go, what? I says, I've never been a chaplain a day in my life. You know, I says, I'd be glad to be assistant chaplain. You know, we're looking for a senior chaplain. You are a man. So I assumed, say, well, God, I guess that's you, because then nobody ever hired somebody to be the head of a department and never even had experiences. So I took the job and I learned. It was a heavyweight thing, but I learned. And then I worked with them for about 25 years. And then, you know, I retired from that. And Brother Emmett called me and said he needs some help with the ministry, and he's in the deliverance ministry and these kinds of things. And so I said, okay. And that's when my eyes were open, when I learned about demons, okay? And I go, what? And he was ministering. And then what made it so strange is my daughter, he needed a clerical staff, and so I recommend that he use my daughter to be his secretary to help him write things and letters and stuff like that. And she went there, and then all of a sudden, she came home one day and said, Daddy, I think I'm supposed to be in the deliverance ministry. And I prayed about it. I put all on her forehead, and next thing I knew, she was working with him, and God personally taught her deliverance ministry. I mean, she was taught by the Lord and the Holy Spirit and Jesus herself. No outside, just the Lord. And the Lord put them two together, and they grew in leaps and bounds that they know those demons. They know all about demons, and I didn't know anything. And all I knew is all my life was we have a written word. So I had to reconstruct my thinking and everything else. With respect to the teaching, I'm just waiting on the Lord, because this is a trial for me this evening, because I always have my notes and everything all planned. And I felt that the Lord said, nope, no more notes, John. I will tell you what to say. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about, because, I mean, y'all are preachers, and y'all have been sitting there writing all those sermons, some on Monday evening, some on Tuesday, some on Wednesday, some on Thursday, some on Friday, kind of a thing. And so I know how that is. And this is the first time, because, you know, I'm always trusting my own intellect. Yeah, I know the Lord and the Holy Spirit always minister us when we need him. But then again, it's a strange thing to say, what? You mean to tell me, like, you know what the Lord told me tonight? I don't want you to have nothing, folks. I am going on faith. This is the first time that I'm going to share the word of God with you, folks, without having the notes or anything else. I mean, I got sermons all spread all over the table in front of me, one on the Holy Spirit, one on the Great White Throne Judgment, one on sacrifice, one on how to cast out demons, how one get possessed by demons, and all these different titles. Why deliverance sometimes fails. Titles like how you can be successful in the deliverance ministry. I mean, I got them all over here. And do you know every time I try to grab one, some say, So bear with me. I was told that the Holy Spirit would tell me what to say. This is the first time in my life that I don't have a piece of paper in front of me. So I'm just going to go on faith. Again, the Lord is a wonderful man. The Lord is a wonderful God, but I got to say this, that I admire him, and I always wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And all my life, all I heard was, we have his written word. We have his written word. My mind was screwed up. I thought I was hearing the right thing. Didn't know. And then when I heard people talking about tongues, then I heard arguments about no such things, tongues that cease, and that's the devil, and these kinds of things. I know the Lord said, don't you dare call the Holy Spirit no devil. You can talk about me and be forgiven. You can talk about my Father and be forgiven. But anything against the Holy Spirit would be unforgiven. I said, my God. So I didn't call you the hoop and the holler. At first, I thought it was cool because I was under that bringing. And so one day, I finally felt led to go to the Lord because I wasn't learning anything, neither were my children, because, you know, I love the Lord, y'all. And how I got saved was that I was sitting in my office, and I was going to my little traditional church. And all I heard for them 10, 20 years I was there, we have this with tongues and all available, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all of it. That was for the apostle back in the old days. And, you know, and I didn't know what to believe. I said, well, this guy here been teaching for 25, 30 years. He ought to know what he's talking about. So I questioned, and finally I prayed about it. And then not knowing it was the Lord leading me, because I wasn't used to being led by the Holy Spirit. I was being led by my thinking, my degrees, and kind of like that, you know. I didn't think God still speak that, because all I heard was, we have a written word. And I had defined it as just reading the Bible. And then we'd know what God got to say to us. And we got to find what our problem is. We need to try to find that particular situation in the Bible. Not recognizing that, he says, he can talk to us today. So what I did was, I sat down and prayed and talked to the Lord. And next thing I know, he said, I didn't call you or anybody to hoop my gospel, young man. You know, hooping don't get it anywhere. If you look at the most last chapters of each book in the Bible, that the gospel that is, you find out that I said, go and teach and preach my word. And then if you look at the First Corinthians, you find out, chapter 12, that I have gifts for you guys, because we cannot fight the devil like we fight mankind. The devils are spiritual beings. We are human beings. You cannot fight a devil like you fight mankind, because, they are, like I said, they're spiritual beings, and it's like you're going to fight and go into war as a Marine. Can you imagine going to the Marine Corps and somebody give you a BB gun? A bow and arrow, and told me you're going to fight the Germans or the Russians or whoever. That's silly. So that's why he gave us, you know, our weapons of warfare in the Bible. And he says, there's other things I want to do for you as well. I'm giving you gifts. Because in the world, a gift is a birthday cake, a sweater, a pair of shoes. But you in war, when you accepted me as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer just an ordinary man. You are a warrior. You are in my army. I am the captain. So what I want you to do, get familiar with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me, John? Yes, Lord. And say, there's different kinds of gifts. Gift of healing, gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, understanding, healing, and all this. And he said, that's for you and all my children, believers, as a matter of fact, to be more confirmed. I go, okay, Lord. He says, but first, you cannot speak in tongues, because you have to be completely sold out to me. no man, no woman will be able to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if they do not know me, body, soul, and spirit. I didn't call you to say praise the Lord on Sunday and for you to go get drunk and smoke weed and all this stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and not to commit adultery or commit fornication or to commit masturbation, none of that junk. You would never hear me. I go, yes, Lord. To hear me, you have to be sold out, body, soul, and spirit. Now, you go fast for 30 days or whatever. And I did that. And then I called my sister. I said, sis, then I said, I believe it now. I said, all my life, I never believed. I always call you a hypocrite. I said, why are you going to go to that church if you're flying up and down, you know, on the ceiling? Told me, they're speaking in tongues. You're blah, 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 blah. And she said, John, she said, shut your mouth. I said, what do you mean? She said, you know what the Lord said? He says, if you say anything about me, it could be forgiven. But if you say anything negative about my Father, it will be forgiven. But anything against the Holy Spirit will never, never be forgiven. And she showed me the scripture. And I said, oh, my Lord, I'm glad I didn't say anything negative. She says, well, you sin. You better watch your mouth. Tell me that's babbling and stuff like that. When you speak in a tongue, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, using you as a vessel, a means of communicating with somebody he want to talk to or want to bless. So I said, okay. So I said, Lord, I jumped in the car, went down there to see my sis. And she says, I want you to speak to my pastor. And I said, okay. So I talked to him. He said, John, are you born again? I said, born again? I said, man, I'm a Christian. What are you talking about? He said, how you know you're a Christian? I said, well, I tithe, and I'm a deacon in the church, you know, and these kinds of things. He said, I didn't ask you what you do. I didn't ask you what you did. I asked you, are you saved? That's one of the same thing. He said, no, my son. I just joined the church. I mean, he said, you're just a member of the church. And I said, oh, my God. Here I am, 30-some years old, right? I said, you need to tell me all them years I thought I was saved I was. He said, that is right. He said, salvation is three things. One, accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Second thing, well, before you do that, you got to tell the Lord to forgive you all your sins, known and unknown. You got me? I said, okay, I got that. He said, and then not only that, you after you confess him and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you ask him to come in. And then and only then would the Holy Spirit come and dwell within you. He said, but I must warn you. Well, he's there in you because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if you sin, and he said, I'm even talking about a lie. And I said, what do you mean, man, a lie? A little lie. He said, John, if you was in a car and you were a liar and you were sitting in the car, y'all were going to some party, you know the guys, y'all just happened to call the cab at the same time. You go to church. This other guy in there, he's a rapist, but nobody knows it. This other guy is a shoplifter, but nobody knows it. And he mistreats his family. He said, do you know if Vico 18 will come by and they get killed, you guys are going to have to go right in the presence of the Lord. And he can say one or two things. I go, what's that? He says, you're going to say, welcome home to the kingdom that I prepared for you even before the foundation of the world. Another thing I'm going to say is, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. And I said, oh, my God. So I said, thank you for sharing that with me. Then I went home, came home, and worried me a little bit, and I started praying. And then I finally found what true salvation was all about. I had a dream, and Lord said, my son, if you die tonight, you're not into my kingdom. You don't know me. We don't have a relationship. We have a relationship, body, soul, and spirit. When I say body, that means your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is not for screwing and all that other kind of stuff. Do you hear me? Yes, Lord. And you got a soul. That means your mind. You have the word of God. You need to leave that fleshly mind alone. That fleshly mind is worldly. Sure, you're born again, you're saved, but you still got a little devil in you because your mind hasn't been converted like your spirit. I said, what? He said, you hear me? He said, you are saved, but guess what? It's like a Hebrew or Jewish sanctuary. You got the outer coats, you got the middle coats, and then you got the most holy coat where the God was. He didn't hang on the outer coat with everybody else outside. He says, what I'm saying is you can be saved, And the devil can't bother your soul, brother. The Holy Spirit indwells your soul. What I'm trying to say to you is the devil sure can have some influence over your body and your spirit. I mean soul, because the soul is the mind. So he said, to make a point clear, don't you know when you got saved? He said, when you get saved, you still think about smoking a cigarette like you always do? I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, and then some people get to call themselves saved, and they get really mad get saved. Ask Christ to come into the heart, but guess what? Some are still sneaking out on their wife. Some sneaking out on their husband, but they're in church every Sunday, and they tie and everything else. So you got the Holy Spirit in you, in your inner code. That's the sanctuary. That's your spirit. Ain't no demon can get in your spirit. But I got to say this to you. The demon sure can get into your flesh. And to prove it, don't you sometimes, you know, like, think about that girl you used to go with when you were in your 20s, how you all used to be hot trot Margaret. Yeah. Well, that demon's still right there messing with you, brother. And then, too, you might be a preacher. You might be a president of the United States and go to church and accept Christ. But guess what? You find out you still got some little sneaky desires. Now, what do you think that is, huh? I go, the devil. He says, you are so correct. He says, so a lot of people think because you saved, you can't have no demon in you. He said, that's a lie. Well, you got to check yourself out. You see yourself going Sunday praising, crying on the altar and everything else. But there's some sin you can't stop, like doing a little weed or going to the bathroom jacking off. Screwing this sister in the church who follow you and love you and everything else. You got two enemies messing with you. You got the Holy Spirit and you got that demon who really don't want to let go. So you got to go and tell that demon to get out of you. He's not in your spirit. The Holy Spirit and the devil cannot reside in the same in your Holy Spirit. That's like in the church. That's the most holy place. Ain't nothing can get in there. That's where the Holy Spirit is. But that devil, that demon, can mess with your flesh. He's in your flesh because you're going, he started doing all those things. I don't know why I can't stop doing that. And you go to church, praise the Lord, on Sunday and everything else. But on some nights, you go and sneak to see this woman or this man, get a little weed or something. That ain't you. That's the devil. That's that demon pushing you to do that thing, you see. So each day, you got to remember who's talking to you. It's one thing if you don't forget anything that I have to say. You have to remember that just because you are thinking it, that doesn't necessarily mean that that you are crazy. What happened is, Spirit be talking to you. Sometimes Father God may be speaking to you. Sometimes it's Jesus talking to you. And this is because that thought is in your head. It don't necessarily mean it's you. Like, for an example, you may see somewhere you can snitch some money out of the offering plate, or you can start fantasizing about going to bed with this man or this woman, or trying to cheat the boss and do all kinds of things. I mean, just undermining the man, backsliding and backstabbing these folks and everything else. That's the spirit of the devil, you see. So you're going, well, I thought because I got saved, I was clear of all them demons because I know I got the Holy Spirit in me. But the Lord told me to tell you this, is that, sure, you got the Holy Spirit in your spirit, but you got those demons messing around with your flesh. And it's strange, you're supposed to be saved, going to church every day, but you're sneaking around, screwing this woman, sneaking around, screwing this man, or doing some miserable things. Well, I tell you, you got something else you got to deal with. Sure, you got the Holy Spirit, but you also got a spirit messing around in your flesh. I want you to try to get you to backslide and do all these other things. All this I'm saying might sound a little strange to you, but I have personalized it, and I can see. And then finally, you know what happened? When I go visit the hospital, the Lord says, my son, I'm going to share a few things with you. He said, you won't hear me, but you will feel and sense my thoughts. And to that, I say to you, just because you're thinking it, it's not you. And God gave me a couple of months back, and I was just sitting here studying, and all of a sudden, I heard thoughts like, my son, communicate with me continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. And I didn't quite understand that. Communicate with me, John, continually, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. I am Jesus of Nazareth. And then I'm coming back to my study one day later, and then all of a sudden another scripture came to my mind. It was Proverbs 16:9. God was dealing with me about, hey, I know you love me, but I want you to get out of that mind. I want you to be spiritually related to me. I am a spirit. Your mind, sure, it's intellect. You get into college and you got 3 master's degrees, but that ain't what's happening. He said, I want you to have a personal relationship with me, John. I will tell you what to say. I know that sounds crazy. I know I told you to go to school, get your books, and study everything else, but totally rely on me. He said, look at Proverbs 16:9. I went and grabbed Proverbs 16:9 and said, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So let me repeat that. I said, what? If the mind of man places his plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then he gave me another day later, Proverbs 16:3. What does it say? It says, commit your plans to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I said, Lord, I said, you know, that's like me saying, I'm going to be this when I grow up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be that. And I'm gonna... That's right. He says, I made the plans for you. Don't you know Jeremiah 28:11 said, don't you know that I have a plan for your life, a plan not to calamity or problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope? I said, okay. And then a couple of weeks later, boom, John, in my devotional, you know what it says? And this is the one I love. It says, communicate with me continually, John, and I will put my thoughts into your mind. I said, wow, you know what that brought to my mind? Because you were saying you're going to be going before judges and before these people and these kinds of people. Don't fret what you're going to say. I will tell you what to say. I will put my words into your thoughts. And I go, what? And I look at it again. John, it says, communicate with me continually. In other words, stay in prayers. Stay in fellowship with him. And I will put my thoughts into your mind. I am Jesus of Nazareth. And then just the other day, he gave me another scripture. Says, for the natural man, that's us guys, you know, and I can do this myself. Let me go write this sermon. Let me go write this, write that and so on and so on and get all these books and everything so I can sound intelligent and everything else. But, and then I go, uh-oh, you got my attention. I say, Lord, what is that scripture again? 1 Corinthians 2:14, my son, 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, for the natural man, that's somebody who's not spiritual minded, he just go to church because that's the right thing to do. He might have gone to school, but he doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. He's going on his, let's say, his intellect, his doctorate degrees, and all the other degrees. And they look at me, I got this and I got that. But God said, I'm not looking at your degrees. I'm looking at your body. I'm looking at your soul. And I'm looking at your mind. That's what you mean. So when I say I'm looking at your body, that means you treat it like a holy vessel. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, you don't know this because you're not doing this, but do you know? When a man or a woman masturbate, the Holy Spirit leaves because they're not the temple. Do you know when a man or a woman cheat on their husband or wife, the Holy Spirit leaves too? Why, do you actually think the Holy Spirit will stay in your body while you're screwing some man or screwing some woman? Huh? I go, oh, no, Lord, I ain't that stupid. He says, for the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerner. Let me say that again. For the natural man, that's guys who can't hear the Holy Spirit, and I'm really trying every day to hear more and more and more because I know how important it is now. He says, for the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Foolishness. That reminds me like when you talk to tongue, man, that's just babbling. That's foolishness to them, see? And then when you tell them, say, the devil likes to twist his word and everything else and say, we have his written word. And that's almost when they say it, I know we have the written word, and we want to know what the Lord wants us to say. We just read what we do, how we interact in the situation. But he didn't say we have his written word. That don't mean we can't hear him anymore. He still communicates with us. The written word is when you happen to be by yourself and you just want to clarify something, you can look in the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about that word or that thought, okay? We have his written word. But he also gave us those gifts. And I realize that we're so busy in the flesh that we disregard a lot of things God tells us. I know some ministers don't even bother 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter talk about those wonderful gifts that he has for each one of us. Just think, for those who've been in the military, you know, such as myself. Now, they put us in the military so they can train us warfare, right? Well, when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are in his army. He's the captain of the army. Yes, he is. And we're supposed to follow his commands. And when we're in the military, they teach us how to shoot a gun, you know, how to do karate, how to do jujitsu, and how to punch and box and wrestle and all that stuff. So if you happen to come up against an enemy like a Japanese or whatever, next, and your gun is no longer any good because you accidentally drop it in the water when you're crossing the sea or whatever. And then if you don't know how to fight, his fight, because the Japanese know that karate and all that stuff, you better know your business too. So God says, you fight, you my army now. You're fighting against the devil, and you can't fight the devil by being trying to be smart and slick. So it has its written words. So yeah, what the written words say when the demon walk up in front of you and say, your behind is mine. What you going to do? Huh? What you going to do? You better get away from me, you bad demon. And then the demon always talking to you all day long. You spiritual warfare help you to recognize when God is speaking to you, when the Lord is speaking to you, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, when your flesh is speaking to you, when the world is speaking to you, and when your spirit is talking to you. You have a lot of voice talking to you. And if you don't remember anything else that I'm saying, I say this, recognize the thoughts. You're supposed to screen your thoughts. You understand? Because sometimes it may sound good. I'm going to go here, go there, go everywhere. And then when you follow those where you go here and you find out it will lead you to sin, you know that that's not your thought. What I'm saying is we need to critique our thoughts. Just because a thought comes into your mind, go to the hospital and see the sick person. Hey, she looks good. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I think I'm going to try to hit on that. Hey, look at this orphan plea. All this money, man. I can't take nothing out the orphan plea because it got checks written. You can't steal that. But I see a whole bunch of $20 bills and $10 bills and $50 bills. Heck, I can take one of them or two of them, stick it in the pocket, take the family out to lunch after church. Nobody would be the wiser, you know. Maybe the person who gave this much money after the Italian, the woman gets reported and say, Pastor, whoever the treasurer, y'all made a mistake when I turned in $100. I turned in two $50 bills. Y'all showing me that I turned in one $50 bill. See, that's a miss right there. We had to dismiss one person when I was down in Savannah for doing that same thing. God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't we have this written word? Well, sure we have the Bible. Read it when you need to settle down and have a peaceful moment, something like that. But he also wants to communicate with us verbally. And that's what I'm struggling now, you know, because I look at Brother Emin and a few other fellow brothers of mine. Man, he can hear the Lord. Sometimes I open my mouth. He says, I know what you're going to say, and tell me what I was going to say. And that's not, I'm not talking about no stinking witchcraft and all that crap. That's knowing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to talk just like we family. He has things for us to do. And when I look at First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it talks about tongues, it talks about revelation, it talks about prophecy. You know, and so everybody walks around and says, prophecy has, the Bible says, prophecy will cease. And they go, tongues has ceased, and then revelation, knowledge has ceased. See, the devil is slick. The devil does this. He says, prophecy shall cease, you know. And the word shall, if you look at it, it's not has. Shall means future tense, you know. And when the Lord brought that stuff to my attention, I got stupid and walked through, call one of my English teachers that I used to go to in high school. And I say, read the scripture. Say, prophecy has ceased. I mean, prophecy will stop, you know, and tongues have ceased and not has. Tongues will cease is all three. Prophecy will stop. Tongues will cease. And what's the other one? Knowledge will stop, you know. And everybody said, can't you read the Bible, you stupid, blah, 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 kind of thing. I said, and so the Lord brought to my attention, say, I mean, the teacher, she says, John, she said, you're the next test, you mean tell me now? Since you ain't got no, you can't tell them between past, present, and future tense. I go, past, present, and future tense. Because I knew it wasn't my big thing. So I said, she says, would this pass mean to you? That's something that's gone by already, you know, like yesterday or last week. So, I suppose you say, I will come to your house tomorrow. What am I saying? That I was at your house yesterday or last week? I said, no, ma'am. Would you tell me, you give me a future time for to expect your arrival? She said, that's right. Now look at it again. I go, okay. I go, prophecy will stop. Tongues will cease. She said, what did you just say just now? I said, tongues will cease, Miss Johnson. And she said, well, what is will, Brother John? Does it mean past, present, or future? I said, future. She said, I'm not a Bible scholar like you, but I know my English. She said, now look at the next verse. She said, but when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease, because we will no longer need prophecy. And prophecy is just God using a godly woman or man to minister to somebody who needs ministering to. That's what it is. And then tongues is then God not using a man. God is speaking, the Holy Spirit. You open your mouth and go, Shikiriana kata para so kodina. Hey shikirian de kata putola. Ke e shikete a la para sa kalu yaneke. He said, John, the pastor tell me, he says, what that is, the tongues, is it says that God is not with us. So he given us tongues, and when we have tongues, guess what, John? I go, what? That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit using your vocal cords and your tongues and everything to communicate to the listeners in the hearing. And so you're going, shekara, parakete, shekoriana. Guess what, John? I said, what? The Lord is giving, no, the Holy Spirit is giving two people out there of all the listeners the interpretation, because you don't have it yet. Then he would have to do that for you, because if you had to give up interpretation, then you speak in tongues. Then you give the interpretation. But most of the time when he got somebody speaking in tongues by the leading and the ministering of the Holy Spirit, he's talking to somebody and it says, you know, the Lord loves you, child. Keep it up. I say, now I'm your brother, I'm your sister, I'm your cousin, I'm your next door neighbor, but the Lord told me to come over and tell you that he's pleased with you, sugar. Now that's like the first one, prophecy. God uses you like a prophet to go tell her I love her. She's about to commit suicide. Get your butt over there, so. And you might go to the hospital, and you don't know why you're going. You know the Lord led you. That's why I think I'm just going to go to town, because I always said no. And you go, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, and that person becomes saved through you leading her or him to the Lord. You might have stopped somebody from committing suicide. And then God says, I also want to say that tongues will cease. I didn't say tongue has ceased. He says the reason tongue is still ongoing is because I'm still communicating with mankind. Prophecy was I'm using a vessel of God to go carry my message to him or her, wherever he or she is. But the middle one, tongues has not ceased. They didn't say has. Look at it. John, I go, my God. I feel stupid. Said, that's future tense, but you got to look at the next verse now. What does it say, John? And I say, it says, I said, oh my God. I said, tongues will cease. I said, mm-hmm. And when will tongues stop, John? I said, oh no, I ain't God. Just look at the next sentence. Said, oh, when that which is perfect comes, then we won't need tongues anymore. Mind you, I said, tongue is when you're led by the Holy Spirit to spit out a revelation of knowledge, the words of revelation, of confidence, and stuff like that. And then the Holy Spirit will give somebody else in the hearing the interpretation of what you just said. He's my people, I love you. And your pastor, he's blessed. I'm blessing him. I'm going to build your church. I'm going to do this and that. And that's what he'd be saying. The Holy Spirit speaking, not the man going, Shakala, Mike, say, Kekia, no kotapaloka. Neheshikiria, nekotaporo sokola, parake. Heshikiria, nekotaporo so makatima. And the person started crying. You know, she'd be ministering to her spirit. And that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit using your vocal cords and tongue and lips and everything else. And you minister to that person. And then God touched another person who was right there in that circle and say, interpret what I said. And then the person say, okay. It might be somebody who already speaks in tongues, but they didn't know it because they wanted to keep it a secret. Or the Lord may give that person to understand and say, you know, I don't speak in tongues, but I know what you said. What do you mean you know what I said? You one of me. You know, you could be a Methodist or you could be a Baptist. What do you mean? He said, the Lord just spoke to me, the Holy Spirit. And I said, what did he say? Oh, he said that he loves us. And Pastor, he said he loves you. And keep on doing what you're doing. And he will multiply your congregation. He loves you and he's pleased with you. And the pastor started crying. I mean, I've seen all this happen in person, you know, kind of a thing. And so tongues is still ongoing because we're not God. And when you get up there to preach a sermon or teach, you're teaching and preaching what you have planned to say, not that you are not led by the Holy Spirit, but by the flesh. In most cases, when you do your sermons and things, you say, I want to tell you what to say. I know those folks, now you don't. I mean, you've got a little liking about them. But I know their heart. I know where they're hurting. I know all about what they're going through. And I know exactly how to talk to my child. And so, and you get up there and you go, Shikiriyana kota para sokoline keti para se. And the other one say, another person say, Barbara, did you know? I don't understand how you're speaking. Well, I got to tell you, I got it. I mean, I got it at another church, but I didn't tell my pastor and my members that I wanted to kick me out. But what the Lord says, that he loves you, and he's watching you. He will take care of you, that he's proud of you, and you his child. And the woman started crying. And then the person would tell the woman something personal, intimately personal, that she know that the woman, or her friend who was telling her what the Holy Spirit said, is not lying, because that woman had no idea of knowing what she just said. You know? And she might say, you know, the Lord don't want you to harm yourself. He loves you and everything else. And that woman be saying, Lord, that woman don't even know that I was thinking about killing myself. And she said, don't harm yourself. That was the way God was speaking to me without her, without embarrassing me, telling me that, don't you dare, don't you dare. Suicide is murder. Thou shalt not kill. So I said, all right, teacher. I said, no, no. And then it says, look at the last verse over there, verse 10. What it says, it says, when that which is perfect comes, then we will not need tongues. And we will not need prophecy. Just people going around prophesying to each other, you know. And then we don't need revelation. We don't need all the other stuff, because God will be down here with us, ruling from Jerusalem, you see. So right now, until he gets back, comes back, he speaks to us in three ways. He speaks to us through tongues. And when I say tongues, that is the Holy Spirit using your big mouth and your throat and everything else to communicate to somebody. And then he gives somebody an interpretation of what you just said in tongues. See? So when I say, that's not me. In tongues, in other words, it's defined as another language. That's all it is. It's another language. Sometime I might visit another church. It might be an integrated church. And I sit there, and I'll be going, Shakiri, and I'm just praying. And this white lady turned around to me, sir, she said, you African-American or what? I said, yeah, I'm African-American. Don't I look at you? Yeah. I said, well, why are you asking that question? She said, well, you speak in my language. What's your language? And she said, I'm Italian. Where'd you learn from? I said, I don't know where. I said, oh. I said, I'm just talking to the Lord in tongues. Because everybody in that church speaks tongues, you know, because it's one of those churches where they believe in the gift. And so I go, I'm speaking in tongues. She said, I know what it is, because we speak tongues here. You know, she said, you're visiting? I said, yeah, I've been here a couple of times, but yeah, I'm visiting tonight. And she says, well, when he speaks in tongues, when you were speaking in tongues, he was speaking to me, telling me that he's pleased with me and that he loved me and that my husband was with him, you know, kind of a thing. I said, wow. And that happened to me too one day when I was in the cab, when I was going to Puerto Rico, because I was in person at the time, and Puerto Rico is one of our sub installations. And so I was in the cab. After I got off the plane, got in the cab, I was going, Shikiri, and they got to Sokotia, and that cab slammed my brakes almost. Wait, do you know, sir, why didn't you tell me you were Spanish? You look African-American to me, you know. I said, no. I'm Stone Brother. She said, well, you were saying, my son, I am so pleased with you. I love you. Stay in my word. I heard your prayers, and I will bless you. I said, that's what I was saying? Yeah, you were saying to me. I said, Lord have mercy. God bless you. God, you know, that kind of a thing. but how I finally got to salvation and how we need to minister to our people. We need to tell them, sure, we have his written word, but we also have his personal word where he want to chit-chat with us and talk to us because he loves us. You know, the Bible says in the word that his children hear his word, you know, and you hear him. And that's what I'm working on now. I'm getting where I can hear the Holy Spirit much more so. Oh, my God, he just brought something to my mind. Oh, no, not mine. Take it back to my spirit. Do you know, when I was teaching the other day, it was Tuesday night. Yeah. I made a boo-boo, and I didn't know. You know what I did? I was teaching on the Holy Spirit. And let's see. I was teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I was just going to, oh, and then I got into talking about how the world all messed up, must be coming to an end and everything like that, and how people are killing each other when they don't have to do that, how people are fighting, how different races are fighting each other and all these kinds of things. And I was going, oh, and then I says, and that Trump, and I got on that Trump, but I missed a little something, and I'm going to tell you what happened. I was talking, I said, Trump, I said, that's perfect. That man lied the whole time, he used the thing. And I said, unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of people following that man. And he's a flat-out liar. He don't know even the Bible. Sometimes somebody asks him what book you read. He comes, number 2 Corinthians. He can say 2 Corinthians, number 2 Corinthians. And I say, that's pitiful. I say, see, he hated blacks all his life. And then I made a mistake and say, yeah, that's what white folks tell you. That's why they're voting now. They're trying to get change the voting for us on us now and everything else so they can win all the voting. So because I heard a lot of white folks talking about, well, we're going to have to change the voting procedure so them Negroes can win because they have power over us. I said, that's how them white folks are. I didn't realize at the time I was categorizing all the same, you know. So I say, huh. I say, and so that's what happened, y'all. So we got to stick together and everything else. And then I move on. And then when I was moving on, do you know, I got stopped a track. Bing, like that. And I go, what? And all of a sudden, thought came in my mind, say, you are in error. And I go, huh? And I know with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit never was that strong that I know it was him. Because all the time I go, I wonder if that's the Holy Spirit or wonder if that's Jesus. But I knew. You are in error.
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Okay, so you are in, thank you. So you are in error. You classify all whites as prisoners. And I say, oh, my God. So I say, everybody, hold up 1 second. I have an apology to make. I knew I was following the Holy Spirit because them thoughts in my head said, you insulting all whites when you said that. And I went, folks, forgive me. I said, I made a remark about Trump, and I was saying it like all whites are like Trump. I want to say I am sorry. I confess that I've sinned, and ask that you forgive me. I love you. And I recognize I'm not stupid. All whites are not prisoners and everything else. But the way it came out of my mouth when I was talking about about Trump, it appears that I was putting all the whites in that same classification. I want to say, I'm sorry. And then I say, Lord Jesus, right in front of him, I say, I ask your forgiveness. Forgive me for marking all Caucasians as prejudiced. I said that to the whole people that was listening to me. I said, ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then a peace came over me. And I said, thank the Lord. But I want to say, God bless you. And I'm working on trying to not talk so fast. Because no matter how hard I try, I'll be going to town. I hope I did a little better tonight because I'm really trying because I really, really love the Lord and I really touch him. I like teaching. But if I keep on doing like I was doing, then I'll have no alternative but resign from the teaching status because I want you to learn. I don't want you to be frustrated. I want you to learn by my teaching. I don't want you to be frustrated. God bless each and every one of you. Don't have a slightest idea what I was going to say, but I just felt led to say what I'm saying. God bless you, and I love you all in the Lord. This is John Durden checking out. God bless you. Peace be with you. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.
All right. We're going to have the tape where you can rehear tomorrow morning about 12:30. It'll be available download status. I want to thank Chaplain John Durden and all of our listening audience. On behalf of Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries, I'm your errand boy, Brother Emmett. Thank the Lord for giving us a day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and that we will rejoice in him and thank him for his mercy and his grace, and thank him for the ministry of deliverance, the Children's Bread Ministry. And it is for the children. who call upon Christ. God bless you and have a good evening. Chaplain Durden, we'll see you tomorrow. And everyone have a good, pleasant evening wherever you're at worldwide. Thank you.